Good morning. And it is a good morning. I'm glad to be here. I hope that my few words this morning will be edifying and strengthening to each of us. It's not my desire this morning to promote myself, but to promote our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we are assembled here this morning. Well, bear with me just a minute till I get my notes and my mind all together, because I do come to you this morning in the name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I hope that my stumbling and my fumbling this morning will not be a disgrace to our Savior. I have chosen for a scripture reading from the book of Romans, the first chapter. Well, I know it's in here someplace. That's not it. There it is. I hope that my words will not be offensive to any of you this morning, but I was asked what the title of my sermon was this morning, and it's Saints. Are we saints? And in Romans, chapter 1, Paul's writing to his people there in Rome. It says here, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised for his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared it to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit and holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we received grace and apostleship and obedience to the faith among all nations for his name's name, among whom are ye also called of Jesus Christ. And to all that be in Rome, beloved God, called to be saints. And I want you to remember that. That's what we're called to be. And I hope that we will make the effort to come up to that standard. Grace to you and peace from our Lord, our God and Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I shall serve with my spirit, and whom I serve, and the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. I long to see you, that I might impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end that you might be established. No, Paul did not in any means mean to insult or to degrade the people there when he called them saints, but he called them to a higher ground. We sing that song sometimes, I'm living on higher ground, and sure enough, we're called to do just that. What is a saint? A saint is one that is called to be a holy person, exceptionally meek, patient, and charitable. I'm going to read that again. Especially meek, patient, and charitable. No, if we lift up our pride, we're not a saint. That's not meek. It's not patient. It's not charitable. But we are called to a higher ground. And the latter light so shine that others might see Jesus, and not us, but they might see Jesus. And so we do invite him to be with us here this morning, that indeed his spirit might touch each of our hearts, that we would be strong in the faith and be able to resist the powers of the adversary. I'm going to go on. And the book of Romans here, this is that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oft times I have proposed to come unto you that was left hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and also to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. So as much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jews first, and also to the Greek, and to which one, whatever nationality our ancestors carry us back to, Paul came that he preached unto them. For brethren, it is righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it witness, it is written, the just shall live by faith. And let us remember that, the just shall live by faith. Not by our own willpower, but by our faith and our trust in God, that he will strengthen us. And he might not only live, but he might hold up the light of Jesus unto the world. You know, we are his emissaries, Christ's emissaries. Wherever we go, whether it's coming to this building or whether it's going to the local grocery store or wherever it is, we're called to the higher calling, that we will always hold up that light of Jesus unto the world. I think I've lost my place already. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in righteousness, because that which I may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. Who is them? It is us. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are not without excuse. Let me read that one again. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world were clearly seen, even understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. And we can see that this great land, not only this land here that we possess, but throughout the world, is not something that just happened. God made it, and he made a purpose for it. A place where mankind can live, prosper, and glorify him. That is our mission. Not to glorify ourselves, but to glorify God. But because that when they knew God, maybe I'll go back to the 20th verse. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, even understood the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they're without excuse. But that when they knew God, they glorified him as God, not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible men, like unto birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. No, the world today has pictured God, if they picture him at all, less than what he really is. Because we know God is in the heavens. He's the creator of all things, both in heaven and in earth. And he's given us the possibility, or the responsibility, rather, to care for it and to prune it and care for it. But it is a great responsibility that he's called us to. So they changed the glory of an uncorruptible God into an image of the made like unto corruptible men, both birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a liar, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And we can see that it's quite often happened that we respect the majority of the world today, may have respect for the creation, for the world, for the beauties of the world in many nations, but they don't even recognize or know where it came from, or there was a creation of God himself. But we are so blessed to live here in this land of the free, in the home of the brave, a land where we have the privilege, the responsibility, and to be part of the family of God. Whether we like it or not, we're the family of God. But we need to recognize that and let our lives so shine that others might see God in his mighty and handiwork. For this God gave Canaan up to their afflictions and gave them to vile afflictions. Even their women did change their natural use to that which is not against nature. And likewise also men, leaving the natural use of the woman, turned to their own, to their lust one toward another, men with women, working that which is unseemly and receiving into themselves the recompense of their error, which was meat. And even as they did not live to return to God in their knowledge. God, give them over to a reprobate mind and to these things which are not convenient. Be filled with unrighteousness, fornications, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, deceit, debate, malignity, and whispers. Backbiters, haters of God, despitefully proud boasters, inventors of vile things and disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affections, and implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which committed such things are worthy of death, not only to do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. And so it is, I don't have to tell you the wickedness that's in the earth, and yet it is we do have the opportunity to be free, to serve God with all of our heart, might, and strength. And we have the responsibility to avoid even the very appearance of evil, that we might hold up his light wherever we live. That is our responsibility, to just deal justly one with another and with all mankind, wherever our life might lead us. You know, sometimes our everyday walk of life leads us in some kind of inconvenient or uncomfortable places and situations. But we are called to that higher ground that we might be what it says as saints. And you know what a saint is? A saint is a person exceptional, meek, patient, and charitable. I don't think I need to try to decipher that or explain what those words are. But it's not to be lifted up in pride or self-esteem, but is to lift up our hearts to God and to show the way to him. I hope this morning, as we are assembled here, that we can associate one with another, that we can prepare ourselves to go out into the world and the everyday walk of life and carry that gospel with us, that it might shine forth, not to our glory, but to the glory of God. And quite often I think that's what happens if we're not careful how we walk our walk of life, that we do so with a finger pointed to God and to his goodness and his mercy, to let his light so shine, not to show us, but to show the world that there is a God and that he has a residence here below. This is his footstool, and it's not ours. We're only here to serve God and to be obedient to him in all things. I don't suppose I will be long-winded this morning, because I've already run out of words. But I pray that God will give unto us the ability to be strong and to have faith that he will lift us up, not to exalt us, but lift us up that we might show forth the grace of God and his great mercy and love in all of us. Like I said, I'm about to run out of words. But I want you to know that I am thankful to God for my own life. As I think back over my days, and I don't want to stand up here and, well, exalt myself in any way, but I want to thank God for the things that he has done for me. You know, I was not born here in Independence. I was born 60 miles north of here. And my first church I ever joined and attended was in Hamilton, Missouri. We lived in Cameron when Hamilton was about, I think, 30 or so miles a little bit north and west of Cameron. And we had a little church there. Our pastor was Brother John Ford. And Brother Ray Bryant and John Sweem. I can just barely remember them. We moved to Independence when I was 5 years old. And it was during the Depression time, and we didn't have a car. So we lived about, oh, I don't know. I can't tell you how far it is because we've been there for a long time. But it was about 20 miles or so southeast of here, or northeast of here, rather. No, southeast. And so we didn't get to church very often. And when we did come, we had to walk those 3 miles. Sometimes we'd come on Sunday morning, we stay all day. We bring a little lunch with us, and sometimes we go down here in the pasture behind what's now the LDS building and have our picnic lunch and return for the evening service. And then walk back home after dark that night. It was an all-day job for us. But I am so thankful for my parents who took the responsibility and the perseverance to see that we got to church. No, we didn't always come here. There was a little reorganized church just about 2 blocks from us, and we did attend there occasionally. But we was all knowing where we belonged, not only by ourselves. We knew where we belonged, but wherever we went, they knew where we came from and what we stood for. And it caused us to, walk a straight line. We knew that everything we did would bring reproach upon the church. No, those were hard times back in those days. But I am so thankful that God allowed me to live through them. And the strength that it instilled in me as we came through those days. But God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He has never changed. He's not going to change. But he has still called us to a higher ground. Higher ground than we've ever seen or known. But a ground that will exalt God, not us, but a ground that will exalt God and bring glory unto him. I don't know how, I don't know, given to great, powerful words, but I don't know how to explain to us just what it is that God wants out of us to be truth and faithful and honest and fair in everything we do. So this morning, as we gather, as we do every Sunday, I pray that God's blessings will be with each of us to strengthen us against our human weaknesses and to point us and to direct us to that higher ground, that we might show forth God's handiwork. You know, as I look back over my life, I have much to be thankful for. This pulpit. I was here when I first came. This pulpit has lived through at least two buildings, and I think maybe three, I'm not sure. But it was built by Brother William Sheldon's grandfather. I didn't know him myself, at least I don't remember him if I did. But they say he was a small man, and that's the reason it's down here and not up here. We had to extend it a little bit for us who were a little bit longer than old Brother Sheldon was. But we have great reason to rejoice and to praise God for those who went before us and made this thing possible where we are today. For it is not something that we have done ourselves. You know, when the building burned, I can't remember what year it was now, but I was standing out here on the southeast corner watching the firemen put out the fire. A woman came up to me and she says, "It's just too bad they're not going to let you build back." Without even thinking, I said, "Well, we are. We're going to build back." And of course, there was some rumors that they wouldn't let us. But I didn't have much responsibility, but I had a little. And I went up to the city hall to get some paperwork done. And they asked me about what we was going to do, and I showed them. They had no questions, no problem with it, whatever we did. They worked with us. It was patient with us. And so we have this wonderful building. And I don't mean to exalt a building because it's only a house. But our lives put the glory. Actually, God puts the glory in it, and we sustain it. So I hope today that you will at least take an increased devotion, an increased effort and strength to hold up that light of God, not only as we come here, but wherever we might go. I can remember one time when I was working, I forget now just what the situation was, but there was a little discussion on some of the things we was going to do, and I guess I had a little bit different idea of how we should act, and even in my employment. And one of my buddies I worked with said, "Well, if that bothers your rightful soul, let it be." No. We let our light shine wherever we are. I did not preach to my fellow workers, but I tried the best I could to let my light so shine that they would know the will of God. And I was blessed in that responsibility, not of my own strength, because I know that I do not have any. As far as words is concerned, I'm not really gifted with them. But I was able to preach the funeral for my supervisor when he passed away. I do not say that as boasting. But I say that because I know it was a blessing from God, and that he allowed me to be useful in whatever way he would. And so this morning my message is that God has called us to a higher ground than we have found. not only as we sit here in these pews and as we speak and consider the words that are written in the Bible and the Book of Mormon. And though I have not chosen to read anything from the Book of Mormon this morning, it's not because I do not appreciate it or believe it or use it. It's just that I had chosen this message here for us this morning. And the Book of Mormon stand as a witness that it is a true record of this land and of God's working with this land. We know that it is a promised land. And you know, there's something kind of strange about this land. In fact, there's something strange about the history that's written in books that are yet ahead of us. As we look out on us this morning, I presume, and I think I'm pretty right, that there are none of us that are Jews or of the house of Israel. We're Gentiles. And God called us to a purpose. But as we read through the scriptures, we find out that Christ came to the house of Israel. He didn't come to the Gentiles. He did come to this land, but they too were the house of Israel. He went to Jerusalem. But to us, we have Christ through the stories and the mission that he gave to the world. We have a great responsibility to live to us. But as I think about the things that are yet in the future, they're going to change some. You know, it's written that there will come a time when the river Euphrates will be dried up. And I don't know whether you're acquainted with that part of the country or not. I can't say that I really am acquainted with it, but I have looked at the map a little bit. And it says that river will be dried up so that at some time in the future, the house of Israel will come down out of the north. Where in the north? Where are they? I don't know. And we may not see it, and yet we may see it to see the time when they come out of the north and they cross the Euphrates River, and God will dry it up so they can come through dry land. Even across the Mediterranean Sea to the land of Jerusalem. We will see, but the Lord world will see those days, that they will come and it will be just as he said. And so I don't want you to be surprised, whatever more might bring. But Christ said that it's the house of Israel will be gathered there, and the Gentiles who repent will be numbered with them. And I have no idea what the mixture will be or just how it's all going to happen. But I am sure that as it is written, so that it will be. But it requires each of us to take a great look at our own lives, that we will walk with our hand in God's hand and our heart where it ought to be towards God and his work. No, like I say, I don't know what our future here, but this building has stood here since, well, I don't remember what year it was we moved here now. I was 5 years old, and so it was about 1932 or three, somewhere along in there, when we moved from Cameron, Missouri to a little home out here east of Independence. And though this is not the building that was here then, that building burned by an arsonist. You know, something very special about it. You talk about this pulpit was built by Brother Sheldon's grandfather. And I have no idea what year that was, but before I was born. And here it is today. When this building burned, the roof, the ceiling fell in and landed on top of this pulpit. And yet it's still here. In fact, the outside of the building showed very little damage. The inside was pretty well this part of the building was pretty much destroyed. And so when they decided we were going to rebuild back, we made the arrangements, and the demolition crew was trying to tear down the old building, and they had trouble getting the front of the building to push in. He had a bulldozer, and he was pushing at it and twisting and turning, and it didn't bother it at all. So I went up to the square where the, I don't know what his title was, but was in charge of the permits and everything. And I forget now what my question was, and I told him he was having a little trouble. So what it was that the bulldozer was trying to save, if he could, the building, a piece of the building, so that they wouldn't have to start from scratch. It would help us to get a permit to build back. And what I had forgotten for the moment was that there was a bolt about the size of my thumb and about 20 feet long. I guess it was a rod, but it bound to a bolt. It would run through the entryway into the second room, under the stairway, to bolt a building together. And of course, we couldn't get it to fall, to leave that outside wall standing and get the rest of it down. Well, the engineer that was working with us said, go ahead, we won't have any problem. And we didn't. Not really. However, when the time come to get permits and everything for the building, we went up to the city hall and we sat there through the meeting, and there was I don't remember now, but there was a little question about what we was going to do. And I finally stood up and I said, well, we're not going to cause any problem. We just want you to tell us what we need to do, and we're going to do our very best to do it. And sure enough, because we were willing to work with them, they allowed us to have this building. Not that I feel to worship the building, I don't, but I do respect it. And I praise God for it. Where it had been a home, a place of worship, a place of solitude, where we can assemble together and share the love of God with each other, and to receive strength by the association together and by the Spirit of God, that we can go forth into the world and hold up his light. And so this morning my message is to take courage, because this is God's work. It's not ours. and though the promise is to the house of Israel and to the Gentiles who will repent, will be numbered with them. Right now, it would seem that the house of Israel is scattered in all the world. And I don't know how soon that's going to change, but I'm sure it's going to. I praise God for each one of you, and I thank you for your presence, for your effort, and for your labor for the good works, that we might hold up that light of God to the world. There might be a place of refuge to all those who are seeking God. I don't know whether I said anything that's of any worth to you this morning or not, but I want you to know that I praise God with all my heart, and I thank him for each day because I know he gave them to me. And it's not something I've done myself. He gave them to me. And I thank him for the strength that he's given to me to stand here with this morning. And though I have my elbows on the pulpit to keep my knees from buckling, I praise God and give you thanks for your time, your patience, and tell you to hang on with all your might to that gospel and don't let nobody take it from you. God be with you all, and I ask it in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.